St. Paul, as we heard, reminds us that Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. That would be us. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find the courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As the scriptures remind us, the wages of sin is death. And as St. Paul says, it's through sin that death comes into the world. And since by man came death, by a man also comes the resurrection of the dead, that Christ comes to restore life that we could have it in its fullness. In his meditations on the Stations of the Cross, St. Alphonsus Liguori comments on that, saying how true it is that we, because of our wickedness, deserve to die a terrible death. The things that we've done against God, against others, against ourselves, merit eternal damnation. But it's precisely in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The death of Christ that gives us hope, that beyond our sinfulness we can change, we can become something new, something better, to become something great, to become holy. It kind of leaves a question. Would you, as a parent, as most of you are, would you die for your children? And the answer that I think you would give would be yes, that you would willingly die for the sake of your child, for your child to live. But on the other hand, if there were a criminal who were sentenced to death, and your child, your innocent child, is the one who could free the criminal, would you let your child die for that criminal? Well, the answer is probably not. It's the human way of looking at things. Back during World War II, in the Polish concentration camp of Auschwitz, a prisoner had escaped. And so, to make up for that lost prisoner, the commandant of the camp decided that somebody was going to have to die for that person. And so, people were chosen at random to come up front and center, and one man was chosen to die. He pleaded for mercy because he had a wife and children. Another prisoner stepped up and said, "I will take his place." The commandant was taken aback by that. He said, "Who are you?" The man responded, "I'm a Catholic priest." We know him today as St. Maximilian Kolbe, a Polish priest who is imprisoned simply for doing what a priest does, preaching the gospel. But the Nazis didn't care for that, so they tried to silence him by putting him in prison. And today he's a canonized saint. Why? Because he offered his life in exchange for someone else, just as Christ did for us. He volunteered his life for that prisoner with the family. But let's look at it from a different angle. What about that Nazi commandant, or any Nazi soldier, or anyone for that matter? Would somebody offer their life, his or her life, for someone like that, who would be guilty of horrible crimes against human beings if that person were sentenced to death for their crimes? The answer is, of course, yes. Someone did, and that someone is Christ himself. As our Lord was hanging on the cross, there are two words that sum up everything from the gospel today and the whole purpose of Christ's coming. Those two words are, "I thirst." I thirst. And what does Jesus thirst for? Not water, not the wine that was put to his lips. Jesus thirsts instead for us, for you and for me. It's hard for us to understand what thirst really is. Because we live in an area where we have lots of natural resources, there's water all around us, we get thirsty, But none of us here, I don't think, has ever really come close to dying of thirst. Let's kind of look at it this way. The human body is made up of about 70% water. So dehydration is a dangerous and deadly thing. To be depleted of hydration, to be in that awful, desperate state of thirst, craving nothing but a simple drop of water, is something that maybe we don't understand. But if you put yourself in the middle of a desert where there is no water, you've depleted your resources and you can feel that your body is shriveling away, this is exactly what you crave. You crave nothing else but that single drop of water, and it's not just for water alone. It's a craving for life. It's a desperate longing to live. And without that water, death is certain. The woman at the well is coming to draw water kind of late in the day. The gospel says it's about noon, which is kind of unusual because women in those days went to the well early in the morning to get all their water for the washing and cooking, etc., etc. So why is she there at midday? Two reasons. Because she was ashamed. She admitted to Christ what her life was like. Maybe she'd been up all night because of her sinful lifestyle. Or maybe it's both. She's ashamed because of who she is and what she does. She thirsts, but it's not for water. Her life, and she knows it, is drying up and shriveling away. She's looking for someone to love her for who she is, not for what she can give. She's looking for true joy in life, not fleeting pleasure. She's looking for a purpose, a reason for existing, and she doesn't find it anywhere until she has an encounter with Jesus Christ. Christ who satisfies her deepest longings. Our lives, too, are sometimes lived with very little meaning or very little purpose. We often run ourselves ragged, and then we complain about all the stuff that we have to do. We complain about how much we've done and still how our families have turned out, or we complain about how the world is. But in the midst of all that, nobody stops to think about where we are in our relationship with the Lord. Nobody decides to pray. We look for human solutions to our everyday problems, but we never turn to God. No one ever talks to Jesus, but this woman did. We never ask the Lord, what is it that He wants us to do? What is it that He wants us to believe? How He wants us to behave? We often live our lives to please other people or to please ourselves, and then we end up all frustrated because we're not happy at all about it. Why? It's all misdirected. We never think to please Christ and to serve Him, to do all that we do in Christ out of love for Him and the glory of God the Father. He thirsts for us. But the question remains, do we thirst for Him? Do we thirst for Him? Truth be told, the human soul created by Almighty God craves the love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, and peace of Christ. We're not in the middle of a physical desert, but we certainly are in the midst of a vast moral and spiritual wasteland. And we are dying. Dying by drying up and shriveling away. We are dying of thirst. And we will not find relief or satisfaction in the things that we have or should have left behind. Like the people in the Old Testament, when they were looking back at their life in Egypt, they thought, oh, we had all kinds of wonderful things, but they forgot about the fact that they were slaves there and had no freedom. We try to find happiness and pleasure in the things that keep us from Christ, thinking, well, I was happier in my sin, but still a slave. But in Christ our rock, in Christ our salvation, we find everything that we need. We find who we are. And we find what God Himself wants to give. And so, my brothers and sisters, drink. Drink from that rock. drink from Christ. Drink slowly and drink deeply. The Lord Jesus offered his life for you, and he offers his life to you. He thirsts for you. Offer yourself to him and find in him your every hope fully satisfied.